Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, 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 my friends, the day has arrived for everybody. It's Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. Are you even bothering to watch? I mean, I'm watching because you can't watch anything else. Are you watching? Do you care? Interesting thing about this is that Democrats are tuning in. Republicans aren't. Now, how do I know that? Well, there was a lot of, in fact, where is this story? I think it was a hot air story that Republicans are just saying, you know what, we've moved beyond it and we're not watching it. And apparently this is a poll or something of that nature. But there are far, far more important things to talk about today that really do impact your world. That's what we do here on Political Coffee, as you know. We talk about the political things of the day that are really going to make a difference in your life, and we do it over a cup of coffee. In fact, let me reach over here, grab my cup of coffee, which I'm doing, and you'll hear me slurp it in a moment here. Oh, yes, wonderful. You know, when you're talking about things over a cup of coffee, it's kind of like a relaxed concept, right? I mean, the idea, you know, you get up in the morning, you drink some coffee, maybe you're drinking in the afternoon if you're listening to the evening replay of this show, maybe you're on your way home from work, maybe you're on your way to work if you got to work the swing or the graveyard shift. But, you know, you're normally just sort of pondering things. You know, when you ponder things, when you take the time to do it out of your busy life, I think that you have an opportunity. At least I do, so it's kind of how I am. I don't know how you are, but I'm not pondering the Mueller controversy right now. But I am pondering the impact of Donald Trump, his presidency, on our lives. Because believe me, it is in so many ways. The response of Kate Brown and the retro-Bolsheviks that run Oregon, the regressive totalitarian Marxists, as we call them, the response to his policies from them and how that matters in your life. For instance, it's not just this Russia, 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 Mueller, Mueller, Mueller thing at all. Now, you ought to be deeply concerned about this silent coup that was quietly hatched that hopefully is going to be fully exposed. And this is a piece of it today. I mean, literally, this is a piece of it today. You're watching it. This is a circus that is playing out, that has to play out, because the Democrats are demanding. They're not giving up on this impeachment thing, and that's what this is all about. And I'm not going to talk much about this because, frankly, everybody else is. But I want to talk about something else. How all of this impacts you. Not the Mueller thing, but Trump's presidency and why America, and it leads us to the recall effort here in Oregon on Kate Brown, why America elected a character. That's the only way you can describe Donald Trump. Why America elected somebody like him, and how much of Oregon shares that same basic reasoning. I'm not going to say philosophy, because I don't. Yes, Donald Trump has philosophies. There's no question about it. And, you know, to me, as a constitutional conservative, as a Christian conservative, to me, it is wonderful to have a man like this, as flawed as he is, governing far more conservatively than I ever thought he would. Not for a minute did I think he would do the things he's done. Now, I'm not happy, as many of you, with him signing, you know, this omnibus budget deal. But there's some obvious political strategy in it. And I'm not going to cover a lot of that either today. because others have. Yesterday, as I was tuning through the radio channels, I happened upon Rush. And Rush was explaining this and was being taken to task by people in his audience for him explaining some of the rationale behind why Trump did this. And I think it is proper rationale. But at some point, we got to stop this. In Oregon, we have to balance our budget. The United States government should be forced to do it also. I say all of this because Trump is remaking American politics by how he operates, like it or not. And I cringe, like many of you, sometimes at some of the things he tweets. They're unforced errors since we're in baseball season. It's unnecessary for him to enter into some of the controversies that he does because of his tweets. But it's who he is. And my friend Corey Lewandowski, who was his campaign manager, you know, he was famous for saying, let Trump be Trump. Because obviously because he is who he is and because he's not part of the problem, although if he keeps this up, he will be. That's how he got elected. So I want to go back to something that Freddie said yesterday when he called in about who would succeed Kate Brown if she was in fact managed to be recalled. Okay, who would that be? Well, that's an Oregon constitutional Article 5, Section 8A issue. Because there is a line of succession there. But what Fred was talking about was not that so much in terms of who would succeed, but who could be elected to succeed. Because under a resignation of a governor, there is a constitutional ascension to, you know, who that is. And Article 5, Section 8A spells out exactly what that is, except that it leads to some conclusions that many, frankly, just find confusing. And yesterday, as I was going round and round the field in a combine, I was reading some tweets, yes, because I can, of various conservatives who are kind of confused about this. And I was reading the actual language, and it is confusing unless you know how to read it, unless you know how to follow through it. So Freddie was talking about we need a moderate to win Oregon. I love Fred, and he's a great conservative. But that's all we've had. The last conservative we had running for the governorship was a guy by the name of Kevin Mannix. He was winning. When I stopped in Salem to get fuel at I don't know, like 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning, having come from his election night party, I think it was at the Benson Hotel, the news at that time was that Kevin Mannix was winning the governorship. Woke up in the morning and Multnomah County had found those magical extra votes. He was no longer winning against Ted Kulikowski. My point is that all we've had, the moderates who have run for governor, have been spectacular failures. And that the people that have come closest to winning is a conservative, Kevin Mannix, and someone perceived to be not part of the problem, a basketball player, Chris Dudley. Now, look, this is not an apples-to-apples comparison here, and I'm going down this road for a reason, so I want you to just stick with me here. Because here's Trump ran against a very unlikable, unpopular person who made a few unforced errors of her own. you deplorables out there. Kate Brown was a very unpopular and still is. That story we covered today, well, it's on OregonWatchdog.com. You know, this poll showed hers the 47th most unpopular governor in the country. She's almost dead last. She's almost the most unpopular governor in the country. Why? Well, that's a whole nother ballgame. But the point is that she is. That was an opportunity. Hillary Clinton was. Trump won against Clinton. He's probably the only one that could have won against Clinton. Yeah, I mean that. Because I don't think the moderates could have. The moderates would not have been unconventional. The moderates would not have been, and they all, because they were politicians, were considered to be part of the problem. The conservatives who have run in Oregon for governor and have lost. The last one was Kevin Mannix, very practiced politician. He doesn't fit the Trumpian mode at all. Ted Kulongoski, popular. Was not Kate Brown or Hillary Clinton. He was part of the Democrat machine. John Kitzhaber, the Chris Dudley, the basketball player, not part of the problem, not a politician, ran against a very popular, well, fairly popular governor, John Kitzhaber, and almost beat him, and didn't run a particularly conservative or didn't run a particularly effective campaign, other than he was not John Kitzhaber. So when it comes to who could fill and win, because that's what it's going to be, folks, in the Oregon's Constitution, Article 5, Section 8A, read it yourself. There has to be an election. If Governor Kate Brown is recalled, there has to be an election. Yes, the Secretary of State immediately assumes that since we have one duly sworn in a constitutional office, her name is Bev Clarnell, she would assume. Now, there are those who say she wouldn't. Well, we'll sort of get into that. And the reason that we're not going to fully get into it is because I'm waiting to talk to a constitutional lawyer to see if my interpretation of reading the actual Constitution and its chronology, that's how you have to read Section 8A, have to read it chronologically. Because there are those on our side, great conservatives, who believe that Bev Clarnell, because she was appointed and not elected, cannot assume the office of governor. I think they're wrong, because I think they're reading it wrong. But I want to get somebody else's opinion. My point is this. There's going to be an election for governor. Can a conservative win it in Oregon? Or do we need, like my buddy Fred, need another moderate? What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I'm not asking you what you want to see. I'm asking you what your assessment is of who could win. What political philosophy? Do we need an Oregon Trump? Or is that too far extreme? Back in a moment. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, it's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. It's an honor to have all of you in the audience today. So what if Kate Brown is recalled? And that's a big if, folks. I happened upon Lars yesterday as I was tuning through the radio, talk radio station, because I listen to a lot of talk radio. And I happened to hear him taking a trying to warn a absolutely bought in, wonderful woman, conservative, who's bought into all of this idea that we can recall Kate Brown. He was trying to educate her how difficult this is going to be. And it is. It's going to be huge. But it's not impossible. And there are benefits to it. Some of our listeners, as you know, we've talked about this, have pointed out what those benefits might be. And not just to the Republican Party, folks, but to the issue of liberty. 503-589-1220. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. 503-589-1220. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at VIM, Natural Supplements and Body Care, in Salem on South Commercial, down by Safeway. They sell CBD oil products. I believe in CBD oil because it's working for me personally in my body and other people that I know. And I think it's a lot better than taking drugs. So why don't you go down and talk to the folks at VIM, Natural Supplements and Body Care, down on South Commercial right next to Safeway. Might be worth your time. So recalling a governor is a huge deal. And it's not just a political party thing. Because, you know, there's two petitions out there. There's one flush down Kate Brown. And then there's the Oregon Republican Party one. And there are benefits in creating this activity, this political activity, as controversial as it is. And it's because people are talking about it. That's a good thing. That's how we change Oregon, right? People of faith pray. And then we individually try to influence our world by talking about these things. That's the whole purpose of the show. So in talking, it's not just a politics thing for the sake of a political party. It is about liberty. Remember yesterday I asked, what has Kate Brown done? Well, she's done a lot of things. And there's a, just like with our Declaration of Independence, this long list of grievances. Well, there's a long list of grievances that we as conservatives, constitutional Republican conservatives, long list of things that we believe that Kate Brown's done wrong. But you know what? People on the other side, those totalitarian, regressive Marxists that elect these people, you know, the Antifa types, some of the radical union people out there, those people think everything she's done is just wonderful. But there's a lot of people in the middle. And those are the people that you have the opportunity in your daily life to influence by asking thoughtful questions, not debating and building walls, but asking questions and making comments that maybe make that little old light bulb go on in their brain. One of them is this issue of liberty. You see, Kate Brown yesterday signed a bill, and this is on the Oregon Catalyst today, and you can see it also. It's from Jason Williams over at the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. The headline is, Governor Brown signs bill voiding people's right to vote. Now, that's what his assessment and, frankly, mine of House Bill 2164 does. She signed it yesterday. This is the bill that effectively killed our repeal effort on the sales tax. And it's a dangerous anti-voter bill. He writes, it effectively sabotages and voids the people's right to vote on a controversial tax the governor supports. With a stroke of Governor Kate Brown's signature on the bill, she canceled out thousands of Oregon voters who have already signed a petition asking for the right to vote on this sales tax. Now, we've talked about this before, and what's dangerous about it is that House Bill 2164, which is not the original sales tax bill. That's 3427. That's the one that we only repealed or tried to repeal parts of. 2164 changes the language and the wording of just the original tax, just the tax portion, by changing one word. And this effectively canceled out the opportunity for us to repeal the original bill, the original tax. He calls it a subversive tactic of changing the laws in the middle of the process. Because, you see, they did this after we filed repeal. This is a dangerous precedent. He writes, trying to change the laws has never been done before in modern Oregon political history. Changing the laws to subvert the will of the constitutional right of the people to refer a tax increase. He says this subversive and vote-canceling attack can now be used to stop any petition effort that the public might wish to bring to the ballot. One simple vote by the politicians can avoid all the people's signatures at any moment during the petition process. This makes it virtually impossible for Oregon voters to have the right to vote on this tax with a referendum petition. Governor Brown has committed a serious violation of the will of the people and the right to petition their government, unlike anything or any Oregon governor has done in our time. Now that, friends, yesterday I asked the question, what has Kate Brown done? What messages would resonate with people if there were enough signatures to actually put a recall on the ballot? Is the issue of taking away your right to vote by this subversive tactic, is that enough to get people to vote to recall Kate Brown? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am at 6:30. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
That's 25 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. If you're just joining us today, no, it is not all Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. I've got it on, but I'm not listening to it, and I'm not going to because everybody else is going to be talking about it. I want to talk about what I think is more important to you. This whole recall business about Kate Brown here in Oregon, if in fact it succeeds, that's a real long shot, folks, but it's possible. If it succeeds, there has to be a new election for a governor. What kind of Republican could win? A conservative or a moderate? How well have the moderates been doing lately? Did you see how spectacularly Newt failed? How about Ron Saxton? Who came closest? A conservative, Kevin Mannix, running on a strong on crime, not soft on crime. Remember, Kevin Mannix, one of the chief petitioners on Measure 11. That dramatically dropped Oregon's violent crime rate because we put the violent repeat offenders away in jail. And a basketball player, not perceived as being part of the problem, who wasn't particularly conservative, but he wasn't a rhino either. Who could win? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm real good this morning, Jeff. Definitely really good. So Kate signed this bill yesterday with no regard to Oregonians' right to the First Amendment, which is the freedom of speech. And that's a real bad thing. put another nail, hopefully, in her coffin for that. Because
well, all right. So do you think that that is a strong enough argument, Art, that Kate signed the bill that effectively takes away your right to vote? You think that's a broad enough issue, actually a strong enough issue, to impact a broad enough of voters that it could be one of the main considerations why people across Oregon, Democrats including, because she's not very popular amongst Democrats, independents, Republicans, would choose to recall her?
Yeah, I think it's a dang good reason, Jeff. And her desire to tax the hell out of us by this gross receipts tax, has a lot of people outraged. And the reason why they did this other bill was to obviously circumvent that, because she knew this was unpopular, and she didn't care about us, Jeff. She didn't care about all the small businesses who have already gone out of business and the ones that are going to go out of business because of her desire to tax the hell out of us Oregonians.
Okay, so let me stop you there for a moment. And the reason is because I think maybe you've hit on another issue. Caring. Do you think it's possible that Kate Brown could be portrayed as not being caring towards people? And not just because of the business tax thing, although you're absolutely correct. This is a sales tax that the average person is going to pay. And that, frankly, the middle class, it just squeezes them further. But more importantly, it hurts poor people the worst, along with a lot of the other $6 billion, Art, $6 billion in taxes and fees that really hit the poor. So do you think that you could effectively use the tax issue as one of the reasons to portray Kate as somebody who doesn't care?
Absolutely, Jeff, because look at Portland and the cost of living up there. You know as well as I do, the cost of living in Portland is outrageous. I mean, it's getting so dang hard to make a living and survive up there. And this, as you say, is the issue where you can get the women of those areas to say, no, hey, we got to live, we got to survive, we got to be able to feed our families and have good health care and have some of the pleasures in life. Well, those pleasures in life, because what's going on in Oregon, are becoming less and less affordable. People up in Portland can't afford to go out to eat anymore because of all the things that the Democrats have done.
Well, that's true. But let me ask you this. Are the voters who have bought into this progressive, which is really regressive mentality, socialist mentality, do you think that they'll wake up? Do you think they can wake up to why this is happening?
If we communicate it to the
Bingo.
General public,
that's
then
it. Communication.
Of course it can be done.
Art, thank you. Well said. Well said. That's Art. That's what he thinks, folks. What do you think? 503-589-1220. How would you communicate? And this kind of fits back into, if a conservative or a moderate Republican were to run to replace Kate Brown if she's recalled, what are the issues, and we talked about this yesterday, that could be effectively communicated? Or are they issues Or is it a general feeling? Folks, there's a reason why. Listen to me. There's a reason why Kate Brown is so unpopular in Oregon. As this poll that we talked about yesterday actually demonstrates. That's based on a feeling, folks. Not just her policies. Dwight, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in a moment here. I mean, this is what's so frustrating to me as a Republican conservative, as a constitutional Republican conservative. The inability of Republicans, of a party, to articulate, communicate something, the concepts of liberty to people effectively. This has got to be done. And it doesn't matter whether you are a Republican conservative or a Republican moderate. If you can communicate to people that you care about them and that you will govern that way, and you can successfully show yourself 180 degrees different from Kate Brown and successfully educate those people in Portland that Art just talked about, that keep voting for these regressive totalitarian Marxists that run the city of Portland and also run the state of Oregon. Those people, if you could effectively communicate to them a feeling, Republicans, you might win a statewide election. Now, a conservative did win a statewide election not long ago. So it is possible, isn't it? Go to Dwight, who's on the line. Dwight, good morning. So what do you think today? What's your opinion?
My opinion is, I think one thing that has come to been apparent to me is when you talk about Kate Brown changing these laws by one word or whatever to keep people from being able to attack it on the ballot, she's violating a sense of fair play. And that
is
critical to me. In other words, what do we have as citizens of Oregon? We have the right to vote. And if she takes that right to vote away from us, that's violated not only the constitutional rights of the people, but it's violated as, it's like, man, somebody's really screwed me over here, and I'm pissed. And I think that in itself is the way to approach this, to where you really get the hair on the backs of the neck really stand up. And I think... I've listened to Kate speak about that bill 2020, and one time she was talking about that on an interview, and she used the word three times in a row. She said, this is going to be a historic bill. This is going to be a historic bill. And she used the word historic three times in a row. Why do people talk like that? Because she wanted to be the one that's historic. That was her legacy, that bill, 2020. And it showed me, just in a matter of a few sentences, what kind of woman this woman is. And I think it the lack of a sense of fair play indicates the same thing that I knew already about Kate Brown.
Dwight, excellent observation, by the way. I mean, Ed, you are right on the money, because that is the kind of thing. That's not a policy. Fair play is not a policy. It's a moral dictate.
Exactly.
And when a bad policy leads to a bad idea, like writing a bill after the fact that takes away the voters' right to vote, in essence... That is a policy that leads to the violation of a moral and ethical dictate. Well said. Dwight, thank you. I appreciate it. Excellent point. Excellent point.
Thank you.
So, folks, this has got to be what's communicated. Democrats like Kate Brown, regressive totalitarian Marxists, retro-Bolsheviks, as Ron called them, don't care. And they're willing to do anything for power over you, including the loss of your liberty, your rights so much. That's not the same.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Last segment for today. This is your last opportunity to call and give me your thoughts about what kind of a Republican could win in Oregon if Kate Brown is successfully recalled. Conservative or a moderate? I don't think a liberal could ever get there, but I mean, there are liberal Republicans. There's plenty of rhinos out there. 503-589-1220, emails to Jeff at 1220.am. What I mean by that, there aren't many rhinos out there in the base that would vote for a rhino. There are plenty of rhinos who fancy themselves as the next governor of Oregon, elected officials, with egos as big as the moon, it seems. My friend Rich writes this in an email. Emails, by the way, to Jeff at 1220.am. Said, hi, Jeff. The GOP doesn't want to win. To put up another moderate is defined by doing the same thing every time, expecting a different outcome. That's Einstein's theory, isn't it? The consultants that the GOP use, he writes, are just stealing money from the GOP and laughing all the way to the bank. The GOP here doesn't want an outsider. The GOP here hadn't have had a bad three-person runoff, we may not be in the position we are in. We need someone to go for change and to interrupt the normal flow of government. The GOP doesn't want that because they listen to their consultants. Yeah, they do. In fact, the same consultant, main consultant, that just laughed all the way to the bank making huge amounts of money off Newt, is also the same consultant that lost Chris Dudley's race. It's also the same consultant that lost Monica Webby's race. In fact, this consultant hasn't won anything, as far as I know, in a long time. And this is an establishment person. You're right. They don't want anybody from the outside. They don't want anybody who's unconventional. They certainly don't want anybody who's like Trump. My friend Fred Thompson, as you know, is a New York life insurance agent. He's a guy who can do something special for you. And I do mean that. Because you know what? Everybody, in my personal opinion, everybody should have some life insurance of some type. Even if you're a little older like I am, that's all right. Tim, hang on. I'm going to get to you in just a second, friend. Don't go away. But you know what? New York Life has lots of great products that they offer that can give you the assurance that your family's going to be taken care of. Or maybe that you're going to have enough retirement income. If you're really kind of questioning that, and knowing where Social Security is these days, something worth questioning. So why don't you sit down with Fred? He's an honest, honorable man. He'll sit down and talk it through with you because he wants to help people. That's why he's doing what he's doing. Doesn't need to. He's been very successful in life. Doing it because he wants to help. 503-428-7479 is the number to get a hold of Fred. You can come to your home or you can come to his office. 503-428-7479. Let's go to Tim, who's on the line. Tim, what do you think this morning, brother?
Hi, Jeff. I have a quick one for you. If I wanted to win the issue on Cape Brown, I would focus on the issue versus the individual. I would focus on the issue, not the party. Because I can't fix stupid. What we do is when we look at the individual, well, you can debate that. When we look at the party, I may not be a member of it, but I will react to an issue, period.
Well, you'll react to the issue if, Tim, that issue impacts your life and you don't like it. That's how you
okay.
react.
Here's one example. The gross receipts tax. One, big business doesn't pay it. Two, it isn't dedicated to education. So how many people involved with education? How many people want a sales tax? How's that for an issue?
It is one of those issues. Yes, absolutely. I mean, but you still have to communicate what that means to people in an emotional way. I mean, I go back to what Dwight and what Art said. People have to know, Tim, that you care about them, that you as an elected official care about them, even if they don't agree with you all the time, as long as you listen and consider their thoughts and their viewpoint carefully. It means you're not arrogant, you're not out of touch, you care enough to listen. And then secondly, this whole idea of fair play. I mean, as Jason Williams points out, Tim, in his piece today in the Oregon Catalyst about House Bill 2164, which Kate signed yesterday, it's designed to look like a cosmetic change to the sales tax bill, a 40-page tax bill, but it contained poison words designed to murder the voter campaign to repeal the sales tax. That's not fair.
Hasn't it already been dropped?
The official petition to repeal the sales tax has not been withdrawn yet. My guess is it will be now that she's signed this bill. So I would be looking for that. But everybody, hold on to your horses. Let's use this sneaky, underhanded, unfair move by Kate Brown and the Democrats. Let's use it to our advantage. And there's something coming down the pike, folks, that I can't talk about a whole lot right now, Tim, that you're going to like a lot better.
One last one, Jeff?
Yes.
If I go back to the issue, I think I could sell taxes. And she doesn't want you to get out of paying the tax, period. That's what she wants to do. As opposed to a difference in opinions.
Well, sure. There's always going to be differences of opinions. But the people with the money were able to lobby successfully Nike, Intel, Precision Cast Parts, a number of companies, the big business in Oregon are not going to pay this tax. But the smaller businesses are, and they are going to pass it on to you and I. And that's why the legislative revenue folks, the accountants that look at this stuff, say it's going to increase your cost of living 4% every year. Tim, thanks so much. Got an email from Linda. Says, with Governor Brown signing the bill yesterday, it makes me feel like Oregon has become a concentration camp. I don't know what powers are vindicating this, but this is a step too far. Many of us spent hours gathering signatures that are worthless now. She cares nothing about the people of Oregon, only total control. Yes, Linda, that's exactly right. That's, you know, when we sort of make fun of the Democrats being the retro Bolsheviks, we're not really, because this is the face of tyranny, folks. It is your loss of liberty. It is this sneaky, underhanded, unfair way that the regressive totalitarian Marxists like Kate Brown have used to take away your right to vote. More on this tomorrow, and more on the Constitution. And who would replace Kate Brown if she's recalled? Thanks for listening, folks. Make it a great day. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you are too.